Now I'm joined this evening by Andy Bettis. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andrew.
He's come all the way from Bridge Street in Brecon-on-Avon to talk to us tonight about his Tracks of a Lifetime and his role as a composer of electronic music.
Amongst other things, I'm sure.
Amongst other things, yeah. We've just been having a discussion about Balkan folk music, so that might come up.
That could well do.
Okay. Are you a football supporter? Good album. I recommend it. Now, Andy Bettis, welcome back into the room.
I'm back here. Hello, West Wiltshire.
Now, I first met you when you were playing bass for Rhythm Coalition. We had Shay Parsons, the singer from that lineup, in the studio just a few weeks back. I understand that the music you make as your main interest is very different to playing the covers of Rhythm Coalition.
I think main interest is overstating it. I think okay. For most of my musical career, should we say, I've had like these twin tracks. One is been as an accompanist, so bass player, rhythm guitar, things all like right. This we're very much with a sense of collaboration with others, and finding a Gestalt, no, I'm getting too pretentious here, finding a way of bringing people together and creating something that's a little bit of everybody. And the solo stuff is like my opportunity to explore what it's like when I'm not cooperating with other people, where I'm just doing whatever I want and just seeing where it goes.
And that's when you compose your own music?
Yes. I mean, I've been doing it on and off for a long time. I've not actually sort of started recording until the last 10 years or so.
When did you first compose something?
I wouldn't have called it composing, but I was in a vaguely experimental duo, to put it mildly, and I managed to borrow a Mini Moog for a weekend.
Okay.
And we had a tape machine that would, a reel-to-reel tape machine that you could bounce tracks back and forth and multi-layer things. So I came up with a sort of 5-minute track, sat there just, from my perspective, whittling around.
Yeah.
But it was a hint that, yes, I could come up with something a bit more structured than just whittling around.
Really. And that's when you had the restriction of number of tracks you could make, wasn't it? So.
Yes. I mean, there were... It wasn't a multi-track. You recorded on the left channel and then you bounced it onto the right channel with whatever you're adding, and then you bounced it back onto the left channel. So yeah. Each recording, the original piece got duller and lost all its top end and things like this.
Yeah. Well, the Beatles have demonstrated what you can do with that.
Yes.
Limited technology.
Yeah, I think it's often been the thing for me that limitations actually really help. I mean, playing things, instruments like synthesizers, where you have essentially limitless facilities there, yeah. You can produce anything, it can leave you with the sort of the blank page terror where you don't know where to start. So any form of restriction can sort of focus the energies and get you going.
Yeah, and it can be a real hindrance having infinite tracks where you can just put that other thing on that you might come up with, and then it becomes a nightmare when you try and mix it.
So, exactly, yes. Yeah, there's just too much there to deal with.
Yeah, so you lose some of the discipline. Tell us about this first track you've chosen for your Tracks of a Lifetime.
So the first track is I'll Bet You by Funkadelic from the early 70s. I'd just gone to university with a background of pop music, slowly getting into, I suppose I'd gone through glam. I was starting to get into prog and sort of heavier rock stuff, but it was all very European-centric, as I'd say. And when I went to university, in the corridor in my hall of residence, there was an American student. And one day he was playing music and I just heard this sound that I'd never heard before. And it's not to prejudge anyone who's listening, but it's sort of this sense of psychedelia, but from very much a black American stroke African framework. And it's just wonderful. Changed my life.
Let's hear it. I'll Bet You by Funkadelic. Oh, that's Funkadelic there. Is that as you remember it?
Oh, yeah, it's very much so. Oh, I regularly play it. Interesting, to me, on re-listening, it sounds like Jimi Hendrix playing with the Commodores. I also found I was looking up some things about this, and the Jackson 5 did a cover of it.
Okay.
It was the B-side of one of their singles. It does sound very similar, but with less shall we say, psychedelic.
I couldn't find the single edit version, so that is a 6-minute version, which I cut down to about 4 minutes, so sorry about the edit. Now, we were talking about the difference between, say, performing covers and I was saying about the creativity of writing original music, and you said, I've been playing a lot of Balkan folk music lately, and there the creativity is in the performance. Tell me a bit more about that.
It really comes from the fact that a lot of these bands playing in the Balkans would be primarily their working bands. They would be hired for a wedding or a party or just a get together and told the songs they wanted to hear, which pretty much, I suppose, is like a wedding band nowadays. It was an expectation that the familiar tunes would be played. And so what made a band distinctive was in their arrangements and in their soloing to a certain extent, but it was a lot of arrangements, how they would do the song, the pace they would do it, how they bring instruments in and out. It was a bit like an accepted thing that everything was traditional. There were no new songs. Every band would do it their own way.
So there were new versions?
A new version. Yeah. In a way, don't want to get too sidetracked on this, but I also used to teach Balkan dance. It's very much a case of the basic step is very simple, and everything is in the how you dance it, how you elaborate it, how you can put a part of yourself in without disturbing everybody else, so finding a thing that harmonises.
Yeah, and I always think that that's true when you see bands live. New bands coming up have to rehearse the songs, then they have to rehearse the performance of the songs. There are two different things, aren't they? They bring them together so that the performance becomes a routine musically, but a creative expression for the audience.
Yeah, very much. There's also that thing of it has to have some sort of showmanship, which is not necessarily putting on a false front, but it's putting something of yourself in there, so yeah, it's different from listening to the record.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Right, tell us about the next track then, because I've never heard of this this artist.
Okay, this is Samum by a band called Kalinda. Best approximation I can make is they're a sort of a Hungarian prog folk band. While I was teaching Balkan dance, I was at a workshop in France, and the organiser afterwards, who I'd known for a few years, came up to me and presented me with this album, and he said, I think you'll like this, and I brought it home and played it, and it was unlike anything I'd heard before. It has, as I say, it ties, it's definitely could be considered prog in that it's taking musical ideas and developing them and things like that. But it comes from this such a different background. I was used to sort of the prog bands that were predominantly one way or another sort of classical based. They had pretensions that way. With possible exceptions of things like Gentle Giant, who are more sort of Renaissance. But this is definitely from Central Europe. And probably the most interesting thing is they play with rhythms a lot more. In Western music, everything tends to be in fours and threes. And then I was introduced to this wonderful variety of sevens, nines, 13s, 11s and things like that. So I think this track has a few examples on there. So
okay, well, I played Tassavallan Presidenti from Finland, a prog rock from 1971 last week. So now we've got Hungarian folk prog by Kalinda. Here we go. Shamoon by Kalinda from their album Transit from 1991. Brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
Great choice. Now, your next track you chose, I've described to you as a Van de Graaff generator for Radio 2 listeners. Tell us about this next one.
So this is Tarred and Feathered by Cardiacs. I notice a lot of the new music I've been discovered has been old music. It's discovering bands that I missed at the time. And Cardiacs were one of these. I came across it on I can't remember how it came across it. But so I listened to it and I thought, what on earth is this? This is just so bizarre. It hooked me. Tim Smith, who led the band, always used to claim that he wrote pop music. And in a way, I can understand it. I can hear that this is one person coming up with something that they think is just an obvious danceable hit, and paying no attention to anything else around
any
it.
Trends.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, it's sort of like, do not adjust your set, come Bonzo Dog, Doodah Band, come that ilk, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that doesn't do it justice. Let's hear it. This is Tarred and Feathered by Cardiacs. Well, that was unusual. Had another 30 seconds to go. I was waiting for the explosion, a few more keys out of the gravy to unlock the cage of the ravens in, or whatever it was.
It's one of those things that the first time you hear it, you think, what is going on? And then as you build familiarity, it all makes sense.
Okay.
I promise.
Right, well, thank you for that one. Right, now, let's get to your track, Andy. So you compose electronically with all sorts of weird gadgets and wizardry in your house. You occasionally post pictures of bits of kit which look completely baffling to anyone who isn't into that sort of thing. So tell us about your musical compositions and how you go about it.
I suppose, in a way, it's one of those things that synthesizers are aggressively complex looking. If you come and look at them, you think, oh yes, there's a million controls, it's like flying a plane, it must be really difficult. Whereas you must appreciate that most instruments look like that to some extent. Sort of how do you make a sound out of those weird collection of wires on a box, you know, sort of things like this. I suppose I got into it because I started off in a experimental band, and keyboards are the easiest way to operate all of this stuff. I started off actually with, my first keyboard was a Stylophone, which I have actually performed on stage to a rapidly diminishing audience, but that's another story. I like the freedom of electronic music, that you really can go off in odd directions and tweak it in ways that don't seem initially obvious. I used to like taking equipment and pushing it beyond its limits. I was in a band where we had a very primitive drum machine, which had a selection of buttons on the front for like bossa nova and cha-cha-cha and that. And we found that if you pressed several buttons in at the same time, it got very confused and would play interesting rhythms. And that's kind of been my approach ever since. It's sort of not what it's meant to do, but what can it do? And so, yes, as I developed disposable income, I started buying bits of equipment and playing around with them. That's why they call it playing, as I've heard it said.
And you release your music under the name Renmei. I could get that right. But it is solo compositions, and you like the freedom of not having to debate with anybody else. You can take it your own way. And you said you put it away for a while, and then you take pieces out and rework them.
I sort of, again, to continue the story, I played around with synthesizers and then had an attack of sensible and adult and put them away, and then hit my second childhood. Saw a band consisting with a couple of friends play in London on these massive modular synthesizers covered in wires and flashing lights, and I thought, I used to do that, I used to quite like that, I'll try it again. And I've slowly built things up that way. It's the possibility of putting things down, almost as I often describe what I do as collage. Yeah. So I'll put down a track and then put other bits on top and maybe fiddle around with them. So often the end result isn't what I started off going for. I've heard people describe musicians as, there are some people who have a vision and it's working towards that vision, and how can I hone it and get that perfect? And there are other who, like explorers, I'm going to set off and see where this takes me. And I'm definitely in that camp. I'm the keep your hat on, we could end up miles from here.
Okay, well, this track's called Transverse. Tell us about this one. This is a couple of years ago, you said?
This is from pretty much a year ago. It was the last album I put out. Yes, it's one of these, started off with a rhythm track. Again, the way my composition method goes is I have to lay down a track which defines the structure of the song and the length and everything. And then I find what goes on with it. I've often got a vague idea at the start, but this is, I had a nice little bouncy rhythm and then just added things on top.
Let's hear it. This is Transverse from the album Solace. Transverse by Bradford and Avon composer, musician Andy Bettis, who's here with us this evening, from the album Solace. Why is it called Transverse?
It's to do with going across. A couple of the pieces sort of cross over the structure, and so it was transverse idea. Okay. Yeah, there's usually some logic to my titling.
You said that you like the experimental opportunities that working on your own offers, but you wouldn't mind working collaboratively with somebody if they were into such experimentation. Now, I don't know if this show can serve as some sort of musical dating agency, but if there's anyone out there who fancies immersing themselves creatively with your electronic work, you'd welcome that, would you?
Absolutely. Rinmei is a transliteration of a Japanese word that means association or confederation.
Okay, so it's that, missing a body.
Yes, so it was, you know, that was part of the idea that it would be a collaborative process, even if it's only collaborating with the me of the past who recorded the previous track. But I'm definitely open to doing other things. Yeah,
great.
Get in contact.
Okay. Rinmei is spelt R-E-N-M-A-I. Right, just in case someone wants to Google you.
If you Google me, it's easier to Google Andy Bettis, so it'll be quicker.
Okay. Well, look, thank you so much for bringing those tracks in. We've certainly had a wide journey around the world, musical world, tonight. So thank you very much. It's certainly been a million songs across both of our brains this evening. I'm going to play a track now.